Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the latest round of primary results rolls in as the stage gets set for November's election.
Vivid testimony at the January 6th hearings by a former White House aide.
Finland and Sweden move closer to NATO membership.
And the latest on the markets after yesterday's Wall Street sell-off.
Former socialite Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced involving sexual abuse. Plus, the former and current mayors of New York disagree on an assault claim. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow in sports. Another win for the Yankees. Lopsided loss for the Mets. And the Knicks may have found their point guard.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are extending their losses this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 30, NASDAQ futures down 38, and the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.17%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.10%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but first we want to catch up on some key primary election results from across the country. Let's begin here in New York, where we're joined live by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. In the Democratic gubernatorial primary, it was no contest as Governor Kathy Hochul won going away with almost 68% of the vote. Hochul, during her victory speech, talked about the recent Supreme Court rulings.
Are we going to surrender? Are we going to fight back? I know what I'm going to do. I'm fighting back. I'm fighting back against that.
Governor Hochul defeated Jamani Williams, who got 19%, and Tom Suozzi with 13%. Lee Zeldin won the GOP primary for governor with 44% of the vote.
Are we ready to fire Kathy Hochul?
Lee Zeldin beat Andrew Giuliani, the son of former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who got 23%. Rob Astorino got 18%, and Harry Wilson received 15%. In New York, I'm Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen, Nathan?
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, some other key primary results of note. Republicans in Colorado rejected two candidates to line with former President Trump. Tina Peters lost to Pam Anderson for Secretary of State. Anderson had 43% of the vote. Ron Hanks lost a Senate nomination to John O'Day, who has often acknowledged that President Biden won the 2020 election. O'Day had 54% of votes.
In the meantime, Karen, two hardline conservatives came out winners last night. Lauren Boebert got 65% of the vote in Colorado's 3rd Congressional District. She campaigned on the right to bear arms and disagrees with separation of church and state. In Illinois, Republican Mary Miller won her House seat primary with 57% of the vote. Miller called the Supreme Court's decision on abortion, quote, a historic victory for white life. Her spokeswoman says she misspoke.
Well, Nathan, we turn now to the nation's capital, where a former White House aide has given the most dramatic testimony yet to the January 6th House Committee. Cassidy Hutchinson is a former assistant to then-White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. She says the former president knew armed people were at his rally. He also demanded Secret Service remove metal detectors, or mags, to let them in.
Something to the effect of, take the effing mags away. They're not here to hurt me. Let them in. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol after the rally's over. They can march from the Ellipse.
And Cassidy Hutchinson says former President Trump wanted to go to the Capitol with the demonstrators. The head of his Secret Service detail, Robert Engel, told him it wasn't safe. That's when Hutchinson says the president lashed out from inside his limo.
The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm. Said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel.
Now, doubt is being cast on that account from Cassidy Hutchinson. In a Truth Social post, former President Trump said it did not happen, and several former aides said it's unlikely he could have reached the steering wheel from the back seat.
Well, we have a major political development overseas this morning, Karen. Finland and Sweden have taken a major step on their way to NATO membership. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo, who's covering the NATO meeting in Madrid.
It is a huge deal. Erdogan, of course, as you know, yesterday said he would agree to this new membership for Sweden and Finland. So we are going to get 32 members from the 30-member alliance by the end of the summit. And by the way, this should be very easy because a lot of the systems that they use already, they are NATO compatible.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo, reporting from Madrid, says the membership process will still take many months, including ratification from NATO allies' parliaments.
Well, we turn now to the markets, Nathan, where futures here in the U.S. are lower. This follows yesterday's sell-off, which saw all three major indexes tumble on renewed worries about economic growth. The hardest hit was the NASDAQ, falling 3%. The S&P 500 dropped 2%. Victoria Green is Chief Investment Officer at G-Squared Private Wealth.
I think we've got a little more to go. Like, we're looking for some confirmation. We're looking for something that makes us feel better about the world. And I think right now we talk about it. It's very kind of simplistic, but don't fight the Fed and the Fed is hawkish.
And G-Squared Private Wealth's Victoria Green notes the latest economic reading sparked yesterday's sell-off. A gauge of U.S. consumer confidence fell to its lowest level in more than a year.
Well, today, Karen, all eyes are on central banks. Fed Chair Jay Powell, ECB President Christine Lagarde, and Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey appear together at the ECB's annual meeting in the Portuguese resort of Sintra. Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix is there and filed this report.
Today, day two, the focus shifts to the broader economy. Participants, including Fed governors, will discuss global supply chain pressures, international trade, and inflation. No matter where you're sitting in the world, inflation is your number one concern. And markets want to know what's the economic price that central bankers are willing to pay to make sure inflation is under control. In Sintra, I'm Francine Lacroix, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Fran, thanks. You'll want to stay tuned for today's big conversation with the biggest names in central banking. Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix speaks with Jay Powell, Christine Lagarde, Andrew Bailey, and Augustine Karstens live right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
And in corporate news, Nathan, Tesla has laid off about 200 workers on its autopilot team at a facility in California. Bloomberg News has learned the majority of those let go were hourly workers. And Disney has extended CEO Bob Chapek's contract for 3 years. He's battled controversy and a crippling pandemic. At the same time, Chapek has spearheaded Disney's transformation into a streaming powerhouse. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 3. Little changed. NASDAQ futures down 27. And the 10-year Treasury little changed. The yield 3.16%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, 66 degrees in Central Park. Little change to the situation on the Gothels Bridge ramp to the New Jersey Turnpike. It is still closed. Peter Vann's got details on that in a minute, but Michael Barr's here first with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. While Governor Hochul and Lee Zeldin will square off in the fall, other primary contests were settled in New York. Democrat Anthony Delgado won for lieutenant governor with 61%. Delgado replaced former lieutenant governor Brian Benjamin, who was arrested on federal corruption charges. Meanwhile, Andrew Giuliani came up short in his run for the GOP nomination for governor.
We need to make sure we lick our wounds tonight, and tomorrow, let's get up and let's support the Republican nominee, Congressman Lee Zeldin, and let's make him the 58th governor of the state of New York.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani helped campaign for his son, but on Sunday he claimed that he was assaulted by a heckler at a Staten Island supermarket. However, current Mayor Eric Adams suggested that Rudy Giuliani be investigated for filing a false police report. Adams says when you look at the video, the guy basically walked by and patted him on the back.
Now, what if we didn't have the video? This person would have been accused with a serious crime when all he did was pat the guy on the back. He's a former mayor. I think he's irresponsible for a former mayor.
Giuliani shot back, calling Adams an idiot. Giuliani, who is 78, says he didn't file the report. The city's police department did. Earlier, Giuliani said that he was hit as if a boulder hit me. New York Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is reacting to shocking testimony from an aide to former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who testified before the January 6th panel. She spoke on the CBS Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
They knew that what they were doing was wrong. At the very end of this hearing, you hear that Mark Meadows, the chief of staff to the president himself, asked for a pardon because he knew that he was breaking the law.
Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez says those who sought pardon should be expelled from the House. Former socialite Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced to 20 years in prison for her role in helping Jeffrey Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. Meanwhile, R&B star R. Kelly will be sentenced today in Brooklyn. He was convicted of racketeering and accused of sexual misconduct. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, as the Yankees keep winning, the numbers become more staggering. Their record 75 games in is 55-20. It's the sixth best in baseball history, at least since 1901. Another game where they didn't exactly crush the opponent, but 2-1 victory over Oakland. The star was a guy who had been toiling in the minors almost all season, but twice now the Yanks have called on 26-year-old rookie J.P. Sears to come up from Scranton, and in two starts he is not allowed to run. Jose Trevino, RBI single first inning. Marwin Gonzalez, solo homer in the second. The A's only run came with two outs in the ninth off Clay Holmes. He was still able to get his 13th save. Day game today, and then the Yanks go on the road for 10. Houston Astros split that four-game series with the Yankees. Stayed in New York, beat the Mets 9-1. Kyle Tucker, 3-run homer first inning off Carlos Carrasco. Jordan Alvarez and Yuri Gurriel, 2-run shots in the fifth. The Mets were shut out until the ninth. As NBA free agency kicks off tomorrow, multiple reports the Knicks will land Jalen Brunson. Knicks just traded Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel to Detroit to clear more salary cap space. Brunson opened eyes with a 41-point playoff game for Dallas. His father was recently hired to be a Knicks assistant, and the son of Knicks president Leon Rose is Brunson's agent. At Wimbledon, the return of Serena Williams did not last long, though her match took over 3 hours. She lost the third set tiebreaker to Harmony Tan, then reflected a bit on her brilliant career.
I love changing the game. You know, something that I never kind of set out to do. And then somehow I did it. Somehow I'm Serena, and that's pretty awesome.
She says she's going to play the U.S. Open. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are moving a touch lower. They're down 5 points. Dow futures down 6. NASDAQ futures down 25 points as we await a very important conversation with three of the most important central bankers in the world. Francine Lacroix, Bloomberg, joins us next from the ECB Forum in Sintra. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping on renewed worries about economic growth as monetary policy tightens in much of the world to fight inflation. U.S. stock index futures are also lower this morning after a tech-led slide for the S&P 500 yesterday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 8 points. Dow futures, they're little change. NASDAQ futures down 36. The DAX in Germany is down 1.7%. It continues to extend its decline. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.09%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 49 cents at $112.26 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2% or $2.80 at $18.1850 an ounce. The euro 1.0520 against the dollar, British pound 1.2169, and the yen 136.44. Bitcoin this morning lower, down 0.9% at $20,060. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A former White House aide portrayed a violent and out of control Donald Trump in his presidency's final week, saying she was told that he reached for the steering wheel and lunged at a Secret Service agent who tried to stop him from traveling to the Capitol to join last year's insurrectionist mob on January 6th. Meanwhile, in a Truth Social post, former President Trump says it didn't happen. A historic NATO summit is getting underway in Madrid. Finland and Sweden are expected to get their invitations to join the alliance amid Russian aggression. In baseball, the Yankees beat the A's 2-1. The Mets lost along with the Red Sox and Orioles. The Nationals and Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning where we're awaiting a very important conversation. conversation with on global monetary policy. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde, and Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey will share a stage later this morning at the ECB Forum on Central Banking in the resort city of Sintra, Portugal. And joining us now is someone else who's going to be on the stage with these policy powerhouses, Francine Lacroix, our very own editor-at-large for Bloomberg News, co-anchor of Bloomberg Surveillance Early Edition on Bloomberg Television. Francine, really appreciate the time because I know you've been very busy with interviews of your own from the ECB Forum, but I'm really curious to get a glimpse at least of what's on your question list for Powell and company this morning.
Well, Nathan, I think everything will be dominated, of course, by inflation, and we're really trying to understand the economic price that some of these central bankers are willing to pay to make sure that inflation is under control. And I just stepped out from a panel on inflation. We had Loretta Mester on that, and she just, you know, she minced no words. She basically said the U.S. Federal Reserve is just at the beginning of raising interest rates to control inflation. And what was extremely interesting for me was she started talking about assumptions on anchored inflation. Now, I had several conversations, for example, with the South African Reserve Bank governor and a couple of ECB government council members on TV earlier, and there's a different perspective if you're in emerging markets. So if you're in emerging markets, you probably would have front-loaded this because you saw inflation coming, you saw a lot of the structural concerns out there, and you would have thought that actually the worst-case scenario is that there's some kind of deflation, right? So they think that dealing with inflation from monetary policy, from central banks' point of view, is easier than dealing with what the Bank of Japan, for example, has been dealing with the last 10 years. But then you listen to Loretta Mester, and she mentioned research saying that it's more costly for policymakers to be wrong about inflation expectations being well anchored when they're not, as opposed to erroneously assuming that they're rising when they're actually well anchored. And I think this goes to the debate around the world. You know, how do we get to a wage spiral? If people read about inflation, if they're worried about their cost of living, they're going to start asking for raises. And this is when central banks could actually lose control.
Yeah, it is very interesting to hear this debate moving forward when it comes to inflation expectations potentially being anchored. When we think about the type of inflation that we're seeing in this global economy that's driven not just by the after effects of the pandemic, but now a war in Ukraine and supply chain interruptions as well. And how much control do central banks have over those kinds of factors that are outside monetary supply?
Yeah, and that's a million-dollar question. I mean, if you look at the current inflation situation, it's definitely very challenging. But again, it's different if you're sitting in the UK. The Bank of England has the added challenge of Brexit. So many people left during COVID. Many people went back home to Europe and have not come back. So it's extremely difficult to fill jobs, which is why a lot of the rise in inflation doesn't only come from airline tickets like we're seeing in Europe, but it comes from people saying, look, you want me to hire me? Pay me more. And so that is a challenge that the Bank of England has that the Fed doesn't have. They have a whole other set of problems. Of course, it's different in, you know, where we are in the cycle. There's been this huge stimulus in the U.S., which you didn't have, which must contribute also to inflation expectations. And then I was speaking to Adam Posner of the Peterson Institute, and look, he was saying the ECB is probably maybe behind the curve, but their supply shocks are really fueling this inflation. So I remember having conversations with Christine Lagarde last September and October, and they said, yes, there's an inflation problem in the U.S. Yes, there's an inflation problem in the U.K., but she didn't see it coming here in Europe. So, you know, maybe it makes it easier because they need to hike less rates, but it also came a bit of a shock because of the war in Ukraine. So, you know, she hadn't preempted that with any hikes at all.
Fascinating. And we're looking forward to many more insights in just about 2.5 hours or so when Francine Lacroix's conversation begins, 9 a.m. Wall Street time, with the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, the president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, Governor Andrew Bailey of the Bank of England, and Augustin Karstens of the Bank for International Settlements, all joining Francine this morning from the ECB Forum in Sintra. Again, our coverage kicks off 9 a.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. You can catch it as well on Bloomberg Television. Again, Francine, as always, thanks for the time, and try to get a little rest once all this is over. It has been a very busy ECB Forum in Sintra. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, futures are adding to some of their losses now. We have S&P futures now down 7 points, Dow futures down 19, NASDAQ futures are lower by 36 points. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd, the yield 3.16%, the yield on the 2-year 3.10%. This red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. The UK has sanctioned Vladimir Putin, former first prime minister of Russia, one of the oligarchs. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly to mostly sunny, mid-80s for highs today. It could hit 90 tomorrow. Low 90s, maybe 95 on a sunny and hot start to July. Right now, 66 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Up first, we take a look at primary election results. In New York, Governor Kathy Hochul won the Democratic primary with almost 68% of the vote. She invoked recent Supreme Court rulings in her victory speech.
No matter what the Supreme Court thinks they can do, New Yorkers, you are protected. Protected from concealed weapons. Protected from concealed weapons in our subways, in our schools, and places like this.
Governor Kathy Hochul defeated Jamani Williams and Tom Suozzi. Lee Zeldin won the GOP primary for governor with 44% of the vote over Andrew Giuliani, the son of former mayor Rudy Giuliani.
And some other primaries of note last night, Karen. Republicans in Colorado rejected two candidates aligned with former President Trump. Tina Peters lost to Pam Anderson for Secretary of State. Anderson had 43% of the vote. Ron Hanks lost a Senate nomination to Joe O'Day. He's often acknowledged President Biden won in 2020. O'Day had 54% of votes.
Meantime, Nathan, two hardline conservatives came out winners last night. Lauren Boebert got 65% of the vote in Colorado's 3rd congressional district. And in Illinois, Republican Mary Miller won her House seat primary with 57% of the vote. She called overturning Roe v. Wade, quote, a historic victory for white life. Her spokesperson said she misspoke.
Well, turning overseas, Karen, Finland and Sweden are closer to NATO membership. Turkey agreed to drop its objections to the nations joining the alliance.
Well, in markets, Nathan, U.S. futures are lower this morning. This follows yesterday's sell-off, which saw all three major indexes tumble. But Wells Fargo equity strategist Anna Hahn says there are still positive signs.
We're not particularly negative on banks or financials, but in general, I think the cyclicality exposure of our portfolio should start picking really where to remove some of that and replace it with things that will have good growth, at least corporate earnings growth.
Wells Fargo's Anna Hahn said the economy could still be headed for a mild recession.
And later this morning, Karen, Fed Chair Jay Powell, ECB President Christine Lagarde, Bank for International Settlements CEO Augustine Karstens, and Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey speak at the second day of the ECB Forum in Portugal. Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix will interview all four live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
And that's five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, we have your local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 67 degrees in Central Park. Still very slow on the Gothels Bridge ramp to the New Jersey Turnpike, though they're making progress. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. While Governor Hochul and Lee Zeldin will square off in the fall, other primary contests were settled in New York. Democrat Anthony Delgado won for lieutenant governor with 61%. Tuesday's election in New York covered statewide offices and state assembly races, but primary elections for U.S. House seats and the state Senate will be held August 23rd. Meanwhile, as we've mentioned, Andrew Giuliani came up short in his run for the GOP nomination for governor.
And I want to thank somebody who I love with all my heart, America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani helped campaign for his son, but on Sunday he claimed that he was assaulted by a heckler at a Staten Island supermarket. However, current Mayor Eric Adams suggested that Rudy Giuliani be investigated for filing a false police report. Adams says when you look at the video, the guy basically walked by and patted him on the back, and that's when Giuliani shot back.
Mayor Adams is an idiot because I didn't file a report. Can you imagine that? He wants to prosecute me for filing a false report I didn't file. His police department filed the report.
Giuliani, who was 78, earlier said the back slap was as if a boulder hit me. New York Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is reacting to shocking testimony from an aide to former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who testified before the January 6th panel. She spoke on the CBS Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
I do believe that many of these individuals need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law in order to establish and to prove to ourselves and to the world that there is rule of law in the United States of America.
Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. Former socialite Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced to 20 years in prison for her role in helping Jeffrey Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. Prosecutors say Epstein would have been unable to exploit girls as young as 14 without the help of his longtime companion, Maxwell. Maxwell addressed the court saying that her association with Epstein was the greatest regret of her life and that she hoped her conviction would bring the victim some peace. R&B artist R. Kelly faces sentencing today in Brooklyn federal court after he was convicted last year of racketeering. Prosecutors have asked for a sentence in excess of 25 years. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here at the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, even when the Yankees decide to give their starting pitchers an extra day off and call up a rookie from the minors, he excels. 26-year-old J.P. Sears, once an 11th-round draft pick by Seattle, he impressed in spring training, made the team, and then got sent down, and he's pitched to an ERA under 2 for Scranton, and in 2 Yankee starts, he has not allowed a run. Yanks with 2 early runs that held up. They topped Oakland 2-1. Here's Aaron Boone on Sears.
Huge step-up outing by him. He's having a great season all around, and he's done it every opportunity he's gotten up here. So great job by JP.
Sears has made some Yankee history wearing number 92. That's the highest ever worn by a starting pitcher. The Yanks bring their 55-20 record into a day game today. The Mets never in it at Citi Field. Houston got a Kyle Tucker 3-run homer first inning. They hit 2 more homers in the fifth, and the Astros won 9-1, and Atlanta won, and the Braves are now only 4 games behind. The Knicks have been searching for a quality point guard for a long time, and multiple reports they will sign Jalen Brunson away from Dallas, perhaps as early as tomorrow night when free agency begins. Brunson's father once played for the Knicks, and Rick Brunson was just hired as a Knicks assistant coach. The Knicks just traded Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel to Detroit to clear more salary cap space. The Utah Jazz said to have their new coach, 34-year-old Will Hardy, who's been an assistant in Boston before that. He was with San Antonio. Serena Williams ousted opening round at Wimbledon, lost a third set tiebreaker. On center court today, it's the hard-serving American John Isner taking on one-time Wimbledon champ Andy Murray. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us. And look at this, Kriti. Starting off a pre-market report with Tesla.
I know. It's such a rare occurrence, isn't it? I'm really
never
shaking
happens.
Things up. It never happens. TSLA, folks, is your ticker here. Down about 1.6%. This comes actually off of a Bloomberg scoop by our very own Ed Ludlow and Donna Hull. Tesla laying off about 200 autopilot workers. This is important. Most of them are hourly. And remember, this follows a lot of the conversation that Elon Musk had had about whether or not he was actually going to lay off about 10% of his workforce, I believe, is what he tweeted at one point or what was reported. He then went back and said, well, actually, no, we're not going to do 10%. That's unreasonable. And, of course, remember, this is also coming in the wake of the potential deal with Twitter, which is still on pause, by the way. So essentially what happens with Tesla is almost seen as maybe a precursor, a harbinger of some sorts of what might just happen with Twitter, at least when it comes to salaries and when it comes to hiring in the face of a potential recession risk. So that scoop, TSLA, down about 1.6%. Let's stick with those EV makers here and look at NIO, because NIO is your ticker, down about 7.3%. This comes after the short seller Grizzly Research published a report alleging that the electric car maker used battery sales to a related party to inflate revenue and boost net income margins. Of course, the company did reject those claims. Nevertheless, it is still doing the damage in the pre-market this morning. NIO, Nathan, down 7.3%.
Now we're seeing some big damage in terms of the value price of a cruise line as we think about getting out of the pandemic, maybe taking a vacation this summer.
Well, the concern here is that what if you get another massive demand shock? What if you get another variant? What if you have that recession risk? And that's exactly what Morgan Stanley analysts are warning about this morning when it comes to Carnival Cruise Lines. CCL is your ticker. Of course, there is that rebound, but they're saying, well, the risks here are still quite high in terms of the macroeconomic shocks that you might get. That note, sinking the stock this morning, down about 8.4%. So we'll, of course, see if we do get that demand shock. But let's also talk about the tech story, because as we talk about demand, tech can kind of be a little bit of a haven. So can social media companies, even though they are kind of exposed to that cyclical nature, to that demand story. And for that, let's look at Pinterest here. P-I-N-S is your ticker. It's actually an upside story this morning, up 3.7%, Nathan. This comes as the company's co-founder and CEO, Ben Silberman, hands the reins to Google and PayPal veteran Bill Ready, and they sign the social media company will focus more on e-commerce. That's a big deal when it comes to how a lot of these social media names, Twitter included, can actually monetize some of their platform.
Yeah, interesting to see a tech name moving higher when we've seen so many losses for the tech-heavy NASDAQ index over the last few days. Kriti Gupta, our Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent, with us this morning in the pre-market. Looking ahead to the open, futures are moving lower. S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 18, NASDAQ futures down 28 points. The 10-year Treasury yield right now 3.16%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine and a high near 85 today. We'll wrap up the month of June with a high near 90 degrees, get even hotter as we kick off July. Friday, high near 95, right now 66 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning following yesterday's sell-off. And we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures down 34 points. S&P's drop 11, while NASDAQ futures are off by 50. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.16%. Gold is little changed. Oil trading higher. And Bitcoin is lower by 1%. Shanghai dropped 1.4% overnight, while European markets are firmly in the red this morning, led by 2% losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, U.S. Q1 GDP. And after the bell last night, Disney extended the contract of CEO Bob Chapek for 3 years. Regarding earnings this morning, McCormick missed estimates. Also look for General Mills and Paychex to report in the pre-market. In other news, Mester says the Fed is just at the beginning of raising U.S. rates, and J.P. Morgan cut earnings estimates across the board in big tech stocks. Wrapping things up, Altria was cut to underweight at Barclays, T. Rowe Price cut to underperform over at KBW. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Explosive testimony at yesterday's hearing on the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson testified that the former president wanted to join the crowd at the Capitol, but was refused by his security detail. NATO leaders are meeting in Madrid amid what Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg calls the most serious security crisis we faced since the Second World War. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has shattered Europe's peace and driven NATO to pour troops and weapons into Eastern Europe. In baseball, the Yankees beat the A's 2-1. The Mets lost along with the Red Sox and Orioles. The Nationals and Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT is dedicated to bolstering support for female and minority students pursuing careers in high-paying STEM industries. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. U.S. regulatory advisors say COVID shots from Pfizer and Moderna should be updated to include components that target the highly transmissible Omicron variant. That's the version of the virus that causes most of the world's cases. Members of the panel that advised the FDA voted 19-2 Tuesday in favor of recommending adding an Omicron-specific element to the shots. The FDA does not have to follow the recommendations, but it usually does. Chinese President Xi Jinping said the COVID-zero policy is the most economic and effective for China, and the country is capable of achieving the goal of stamping out infection. He made the comments, supported by state media, on a visit to Wuhan, the city where the virus first emerged in late 2019. And the European Union is effectively heralding the end of the era of internal combustion engines. EU members have endorsed a push to eliminate carbon emissions from new cars by 2035. Environment ministers struck a deal after Italy, the home of Ferrari and Lamborghini supercars, gave up demands for a five-year delay. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's almost 6:51 on Wall Street. Now it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include that vivid testimony from a former White House aide about former President Trump's rage on January 6th. Ginny Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, declining to testify before the House January 6th panel. And primary elections attested former President Trump's hold on the GOP and abortion rights as an issue for primary voters. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us live this morning after the surprise hearing on Capitol Hill. Emily, it might be a little bit tough to pick out even one or two portions of Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony that stood out. There was a lot that she had to say.
It was, Nathan, and it was, I think, really the first time that we've heard in vivid detail a TikTok of what Trump did, said, and how he behaved on January 6th from someone who was very close to the president, both in terms of proximity and simply in terms of being in the room frequently with his chief of staff, Mark Meadows. One of the big things that we heard yesterday was that Trump, when he initially spoke at the rally that was closer to the White House than the Capitol, he was told that a number of people in the crowd had weapons. And Trump asked that the magnetometers be taken down, that the folks with weapons be led into the rally space, saying, quote, "They're not here to hurt me." And of course, that was a very, very impactful testimony. There's also, Hutchinson also said at this point, that there was a time where when Trump was told he wasn't taken to the Capitol, when he didn't want to go to the Capitol, when the Secret Service, rather, would not take him to the Capitol, that he actually lunged for the steering wheel of the vehicle, tried to push past the Secret Service agents. Although at this point, we are now hearing from the Secret Service and we're hearing reporting saying that these agents are refuting that account. So I think there's a lot of questions right now about exactly what's going to happen with this testimony. I think for some people, they're hearing other individuals push back. But of course, no one at this point has said they're going to swear an oath, sit down with the committee and say it on the record. And certainly yesterday's hearing ended with the chairman, Benny Thompson, inviting anyone who did have more information for the committee to come forward.
Now, we've heard some reaction as well from former President Trump. He posted quite a bit on his Truth Social platform saying that he denies that he lunged at the Secret Service agent from the limo. He says that Cassidy Hutchinson is a disgruntled former employee who applied for a job in Florida and was turned down. What could that potentially mean in terms of her credibility, her testimony being seen by voters?
Well, I don't think it's very surprising that Trump is trying to, Trump and his allies are trying to discredit and downplay this testimony. Certainly they know that these January 6th hearings have had a big impact. We have reporting that Trump has been watching the hearings. And just to be clear, it was Bloomberg that actually reported that Casey Hutchinson was one of several White House aides who are hoping to go to Mar-a-Lago with Trump. So that is our own reporting from our White House, really award-winning, fantastic White House team. And I think it just sort of adds a question mark into it. But at the same point, it was such a vivid testimony. And it was such great detail. And it's been a part of these very well orchestrated hearings that have very much had a mind to ensuring that Americans really have the full narrative of what happened, not just on January 6th, but in the days leading up to it. So I think we're going to still see how it shakes out. Obviously, we have more hearings, at least two coming in July. And then we have the committee's report. And the committee, if you'll remember, they were going to meet more this week, but they pushed it back because they were getting more new information. So we'll see what other twists and turns are ahead as more people speak to the committee and they continue their work.
Now, we did have one other twist and turn overnight when we got late word that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's wife, Ginny, is declining an invitation to testify before the committee.
Right. And remember, that request came after email surfaced from Trump's lawyer, John Eastman, and Ginny Thomas discussing efforts to potentially overturn the election. This is, of course, more extensive than we previously knew about Ginny Thomas's involvement. We knew that she had been texting Chief of Staff Mark Meadows about it. And initially, Thomas had suggested that she would be willing to testify in front of the committee. But we got a letter from her lawyer last night saying that there's not enough reason for the committee to speak with her at this point, and there isn't a sufficient basis for them to speak with Ginny Thomas. Of course, we'll see what could happen next. The committee does have other steps they could take to try and compel someone to speak with them, but often that can lead to a lengthy legal process in the courts.
Only about a minute left here, Emily, but what stands out to you from last night's primary results?
So I think this was a really good night. If you are Trump, a number of his candidates who have been backed won major primaries in Illinois, I think, is one of the big states. You saw there for the governor's race, Trump's backed candidate beat out a more well-known, better-funded Republican in that primary, and also in a Illinois House race that pitted two sitting Republicans of Congress against each other. The Trump-backed candidate beat sort of the more established, slightly more mainstream candidate.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, as always, thanks for keeping us up to speed on what's happening in D.C. Read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are pointing to slightly more losses after the sell-off yesterday. We have S&P futures down now 8 points, Dow futures down 29, NASDAQ futures are lower by 38 points. Looking at the bonds, the 10-year Treasury is up 3/32, the yield 3.16%, and the yield on the 2-year right now, 3.09%. NYMEX crude is up 0.8% or 86 cents at $112.62 a barrel. Of course, we're looking forward to that ECB forum conversation. 9 a.m. Wall Street time, Francine Lacroix sits down with Fed Chair Jay Powell, ECB President Christine Lagarde, and Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey. That kicks off at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg Surveillance is next. This is Bloomberg.